It's derby time. Come on, tell your friends. We'll go to many distant lands with Dan the coach and Jackie the skater. The fun will never end. It's derby time. Welcome to the Power Through the Fourth Whistle Roller Derby Podcast. This is Jackie Bauer. Thank you for joining me today on the path to becoming better athletes, teammates, leaders, and human beings. Hey everyone, sorry about the late episode this week. You may have been expecting a recap of the Europe Continental Cup, but honestly, just haven't even watched it yet. Just too busy recovering from my own postseason tournament that took place in Michigan this weekend. I am so happy to report that my team took first place in Division 1 at Mitten Kitten. This is a goal we've had for such a long time, especially like me and Coach Dan. I think we've been on this journey forever between the two teams we've been a part of the last several years. It just seems like we kept getting close, but just couldn't quite get there. In fact, our record at Mitten Kitten is pretty poor. It's just like, 2013, win, loss, loss, 2014, loss, loss, 2015, too depressed, didn't go, 2016, win, loss, loss, 2017, win, win, loss, 2018, loss, loss. And that's what I want to start talking about today. So today, we're going to do a little bit of story time with Jackie. And the reason I want to go into this is because I feel like my team climbed a mountain together this year and developed so much mental toughness. We worked so hard on our mental game. And I'm hoping that by talking about some of the things that we worked on, some of the things we changed, it could also help you as an individual athlete and your team as well. Maybe some of these ideas could be helpful. So, what happened last year? What happened? What happened to us? Well, we came in as the number 2 seed at Mitten Kitten. I talked about it a lot in episode 11, losing the big one, how do you come back after a loss? But just to summarize, as I do think it's a really good episode to go back and listen to, what happened was we came in as the number 2 seed and we got upset by the number 3 seed. And then we went to the third place game and we were upset by the number 4 seed. We were upset twice. We felt very upset about it. And what happened was, honestly, we were flat. We didn't quite bring it like we could. We let things get to us. Things like penalties, things like the game not going our way. And we weren't able to recover. We had better second halves in each game, for sure. But it was never enough to win the game. And that second game was a 2-point game. It was so close. Our jammer almost got it. She was so close to scoring those points. And the wall ran away from her. And people thought about that moment over the offseason. About coming so close and still like that would have been our chance at a trophy, not the one we wanted, but we would have been getting a trophy and it was, it's gone, just gone. So what did we do? The off season, a lot of us just kind of took some time to ourselves a little bit more than normal because, you know, it's a bummer and you're trying to figure out how to adapt, come back from that. And then we went to a goals meeting at the beginning of the year. And this goals meeting resulted in episode 29, Punch Sharks, dealing with high pressure situations, because I decided my personal goal for the year was I really wanted to work on my mental game and I wanted to punch sharks. And what that means is when those negative thoughts are swirling around, those little ideas where you feel like you can't do it, you can't come back from this, or, oh, that hit really hurt, like whatever it is, the things that make you weak, the things that kind of undermine your resolve to be strong and go out there and do amazing things. And it always happened to me in high pressure situations against a tough rival, like close games. I never felt this in a blowout either way. I always felt it in situations that were close, under pressure, where I felt like, oh my God, I could fail right now. And that's why I wanted to work on it. That's actually our newest shirt design in the store, the Threadless store, Punch Sharks. I feel like I've earned that now, and I'm going to order one after this. But as a group at this goals meeting, we agreed one of our big goals was, as a team, we want a stronger mental game. For me, that means punching sharks. It could mean something else to somebody else, but the team did kind of adopt some of that terminology because it helped us communicate about it better. So the things we worked on over the season, I'm going to tell you a few of what those were. Number one, very important, we practice mental toughness in practice. Because if you don't practice it, you're not going to play with it, are you? So what that looks like in practice is a lot of times we would do some really tough endurance drills followed by drills that would involve our brains, thinking drills, strategy drills, like just things where you had to go out there and perform skills now when your body is tired. You have to make smart decisions when your body is tired. Can you overcome the tiredness of your body and still be effective on the track? Can you use this time to learn things? Are you up to this challenge? A lot of our endurance drills have an unknown time limit. Coach Dan will say, we're going to do this for a while and I'll let you know when we're done. So that's another factor for us sometimes is you don't always know how long you have to go. And if you're always looking at the board, you might not be paying attention to what's going on around you. So that helped us learn how to stay in the moment and make each rep count equally. If you're thinking about saving yourself for the end of the game, well, that might be... That might be the thing that costs you. So it's about how long can you go and still perform at your highest level. And another thing that really helped was almost all of our endurance drills involve partners, one or more teammates who are there with you in the moment. And maybe you're taking turns or maybe you're doing the thing together, but there's always somebody there with you. And part of that is to have someone to cheer you on. But also part of that is I think we perform better in front of other people sometimes because you kind of want to impress a little. You want to set a good example. You don't want to stop when your teammate is counting on you. And so it helps build and foster that connection, that bond between players that's so important and crucial on the track. We're all in this together. Nobody is alone. And another factor that helped with this is there weren't very many practices throughout the season where Coach Dan wasn't there, but the ones that he wasn't there, the captains would run practice and the captains still committed to this idea. It wasn't like we suddenly had a night that was all funsies, though of course we always have fun and we do have fun during endurance too. But our captains were like, I'm so excited. We're going to do some amazing endurance today. Sometimes it would be an all endurance practice because our captains love it and they know how much of a benefit it is to our team to make us work hard together and push ourselves and each other. The second big thing that helped this season was we scheduled a really competitive season. Last year, the 2018 season was scheduled around the idea of what the 2017 team had been, which makes perfect sense. But that's not what the team was anymore in 2018. There had been a lot of new blood inserted into the roster through transfers or bringing in a rookie who was really good. And we kind of blew out a lot of teams. It wasn't the intention of the season, but we worked together and we got a lot of high scores, which ended up making us seated really high, but we didn't have a lot of close games to figure out how we were going to do under adversity. In fact, the only close game we had in 2018, we lost. We weren't able to overcome the adversity and the pressure of the momentum switches back and forth. So this year, every team we faced was a pretty tough team. In fact, we opened the season by playing against the first team that upset us at Mitten Kitten. And we won that game. We were able to take all the things we've been doing in practice and we used them well. And we understood a little bit more about what close games were going to be like. We talked about them because I think the mindset before going into a game was like, oh, we're going to go out there and get a big lead and then we're going to keep it the rest of the game. Doesn't that sound nice? Doesn't that sound like a nice idea? But in practice, in reality, that's not really how it works. If you go up against a really good opponent, here's what's actually going to happen. They're going to come out and punch you in the mouth and then you're going to react to it. And you're going to figure out what you're going to do next. When you're up against a really good opponent that you're closely matched with, that means it's going to go back and forth. And you have to be okay with that. You have to know that this is fine. This is what it should be when it's a good opponent. It doesn't mean that we're failing, doing terribly, or the world is ending. It means now we have to bring our game, play our game and not their game. Figuring out how to react when the other team has a really good jam, things like that. The only game we lost this year was actually a closed bout against a team from a really big city where it wasn't ranked or sanctioned or anything like that. So we did a lot more equal playing time with our players because we're thinking long term about having a valuable team throughout the season and at tournaments. So we were giving people a little bit more playing time. Our last home game of the season was against the other team that upset us at Mitten Kitten, the one we lost to by 2 points. And we were fired up going into that game. We were walking around telling each other, no amount of points is too much. We've got this. And you know what we did? Like, we went out there and we had an amazing first half against that team. We put a whole lot of points up. We're feeling really good about ourselves. And you know what happened in the second half? They came back. They came back with a lot more fight. And if you looked at the points scored in the second half, it was a lot closer between the two teams. We had gotten our lead in the first half. And I think maybe we had relaxed a little bit. So that was another thing we had to learn from. Like, hey, don't get complacent because the other team wants it and they're going to try and come back. It's just another lesson we were able to take going into the end of the season. The third thing that made a big difference for our season was we had an agreed upon strategy for tournament. Now, this meant that the coaches and captains talked about what the strategy would be. And then they talked to the rest of the team and asked, hey, is everyone on board with this strategy for tournament? And that's how you get the buy-in. If everyone just says, like, this is what we're going to do, and people aren't into it, then you're not going to implement it very well. We chose a difficult strategy. The strategy was wearing down opponents. And that means we're going to do hard stuff. Sometimes we're going to do hard stuff for a really long time because we are hoping that at the end of the day, they will be more tired than we are. And we will be able to use that to our advantage. Not the easiest way to go. It's the workhorse way to go. But we felt like we were up to the challenge. We knew we wouldn't come out with an early lead and hold it. We knew by talking about it that this strategy would mean we're going to get our win late in the game. Late in the game is when we're going to build our lead. And spoiler alert, that's what we ended up doing at the tournament this year. Our big lead at the end, it wasn't a big lead, but our lead at the end, it didn't come until practically the end of the game. And the last thing that made a big difference over the course of this season was shark punching. It was shark punching. Knowing that terminology, using it with each other, figuring out what each other's triggers were, like what are the things you're not confident about? What are the things that throw you off your game? And what are the different ways we can look at this? What are the ways we can change this? What are the ways we can set ourselves up for success? We kind of analyze these things. We were a little bit more in touch with our feelings, and we watch for those things in practice in ourselves and in each other. And we checked on each other a little bit. You know, we tried to figure out how do we do this? How do we do this as a team? And one of my favorite things was I have a song that I like to play on game day. And before that last home game, I shared a link to it in the Facebook group thinking the team might think this is kind of dumb, but I think it's amazing. And I shared it on the podcast, actually. It's in episode 20 called I Can Do It. And it has a fun beat. And it's all like, I can do it, I can do it, I can do this, I can do it, I can do it, I can do this. But there's a lot of swearing and not and it cracks me up. I'm not a big cursor in the real life, but it makes me feel tough if I do it in a song. And my team asked on that day for that game, like, hey, can we play the song in the locker room? And I put it on and they are loving it. They're singing along to the lyrics. And now I think that was kind of our unofficial theme song for the year because we used it throughout the course of the season towards the end. And we took that into tournament with us. We're looking around like, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe in you. This beat is positive. I can positively do anything I set my mind to. Like all these ridiculous things. We were saying them to each other all the time. We were saying them before jams, on the line, on the bench, when I come back, like, yeah, like that was amazing. You could do it. And it's just, it really built up that mindset of anything is possible. We can achieve anything we set our minds to together. And anytime you're feeling bad, just remember you can do it. You can do it. And if you remember the episode about self-limiting beliefs with Grant Porteous, we talked a lot about how, you know, affirmations are great and all, but they don't really work unless there's something behind them. You know, something, you need evidence, you need proof. And we knew that at the Mitten Kitten tournament this year, we looked at that list of teams in Division One, and we saw there was not a team on that list we weren't capable of beating because we had done it before. The proof was all there. We knew the only ones that could actually defeat us at Mitten Kitten would be ourselves. We're our worst enemies. We knew that only by losing confidence in ourselves and not playing our best could we lose this. And at one of the last practices of the season, the week of Mitten Kitten, it seemed like people were getting a little bit tense. There was a little bit more nerves in the air. And it seemed like there was a moment where some skaters weren't on the same page. And it felt like there was just uncertainty in the air. One of the first times all year, there was a bit of doubt, a bit of uncertainty, just kind of clouding, hovering in the air. And Coach Dan says, whoa, 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 guys, hey, let's all get some water. Sit down for a second. So we all sit in a circle. And I'm telling you this story because this is now going to be one of my favorite memories from the whole season. He says, you know, I've never coached a team before that didn't know how amazing they were as much as you. Like each one of you has talents and gifts and skills and you want it so much, but sometimes you don't see that in yourself. Sometimes you don't think you're as good as you actually are. So right now I want everyone to take turns, turn to the teammate to the left of you and tell them something about themselves that is absolutely true. And so we go around the circle and sometimes it's like, you know, your positivity and happiness at practice brings us all up and I look forward to it so much. Or, you lead so much by example and you set a standard for the team, or I can't believe what you go through just to get here to practice, or you've been away for 5 years and you've come back this year and you've grown so much as a player, or I always know I can count on you in the moment and that you're always going to be there for me and the things you do are amazing, and like all these wonderful things. We got to have that moment together and there were some tears. It was really beautiful. And the bottom line was, we had everything we needed already. We were enough. And we needed to talk about that and acknowledge it a little bit more, just to let it sink in, to know we've got this. And more than anything, we wanted to go in a tournament and we wanted to be remembered. We wanted to let people know who we are. Because more than any trophy, more than any standing at the end of a tournament, you want to play for the memories. You want to have those memories that you didn't back down, that you stood up for yourself, that you went in there and you hustled and you pushed and you persevered and you did something special together. And that's what we were going to fight for going into the weekend. And I'm going to take a quick break and then tell you exactly how it went. This episode is brought to you by Bout Betty's, the only roller derby subscription service in the world. They offer a range of levels, so you're sure to find one that fits in your budget. The full packs and apparel-only pack options include custom apparel they design themselves or collaborating with derby skater artists to feature their artwork. There's so many fun colors and patterns in size small through 3X. The Bout Betty's full packs also include skate gear, accessories, and stickers. Yes, stickers. If you're one of those cool jean vest wearing types, you'll want to check out the Derby Flare Club option, which includes a mix of enamel pins, patches, stickers, and buttons made from the artwork of Derby artists. And the Classic Pack has non-custom apparel, gear items, accessories, stickers, and healthy snacks. How thoughtful. As for me, I super love the apparel. You may have noticed how often I wear it when I make videos for our Facebook page. The leggings, shorts, and sports bras are just amazing. Okay, the material is ridiculously silky smooth and soft. The first time I pulled on my Apex Predator leggings, I could not stop touching my legs and asking friends to also touch my legs so they could feel the magic that is this material. And it's so darn cute. There's mermaids, dinosaurs, steampunk, cats. Whether you're hitting the track, skate park, gym, book club, or grocery store, you will turn heads and bring joy to those you meet. Subscribe today using our podcast promo code POWER10 for 10% off your first pack at boutbetties.com. BOUTBETTIES.com. It's like Derby Christmas every single month. And yes, they do ship internationally. Once again, that promo code is POWER10 for 10% off your first pack at boutbetties.com. Thank you for listening to that quick sponsor break. Our sponsor helps support the podcast, and I really hope that you will also support them and check them out a little bit. But now I want to tell you about tournament weekend and how we went in as a team. Funny tangent, if you are my friend on Facebook, then on my personal profile, you might have seen some weeks back a random rowboat washed up on our shore. And I couldn't figure out who it belonged to. And it was just kind of there as an eyesore, like, oh, is it ever? I optimistically thought maybe it'll just float away the way it arrived. Coach Dan's like, nah, it's getting full of sand and rocks. It's not going anywhere. But Friday morning, Coach Dan gets out of bed first. He looks out the window and he calls, like, oh, look, look. I look out the window. The boat was gone. It had been there for easily a month. And Coach Dan said, you know what? It's a sign. It's a sign. We decided to interpret it as a sign that our bad record at Mitten Kitten was going to wash away just like that rowboat. Just some more confirmation that things were going to go great. Another thing I did in particular to decide in advance to have that belief that things were different this year, things were going to be great, is every year Mitten Kitten has limited edition merch, and I never buy any because I always worried, oh, it's always going to be some memory of how we failed. I don't want that shirt. But this year, it was a really cute design because it's the 9th year, so it was Mitten Kitten 9 Lives. There's a zombie cat crawling out of a grave, and you could get it on a really cute crop sweatshirt. So I said, you know what? This year, I am committing to buying the merch. I'm going to buy the pre-sale merch in advance because I've already decided it's going to be amazing. We're going to make amazing memories this year, and we're going to do our best. And whatever the outcome is, I'm going to be so happy and proud of us if we go out there and do our best. So, just one more way to commit in advance to we're going to do great things and we're going to do it together. So we go down to the tournament. I announce a bunch of games. I did some unusual things where I never usually change my diet for game day. I totally changed my diet this weekend. I had listened to a different podcast about athletes pooping, and I decided to try something a little bit different to see if I wouldn't have to go to the bathroom quite as much. And it actually worked. So I did it both days, and it worked both days, and I had plenty of energy and not a lot of digestion going on. So I was like, all right, I kind of took a risk that I tell everyone else not to do, and somehow it worked. I also went cold turkey on caffeine and fake sugar because I didn't want to be overly hyped because I thought that would actually feed into nerves. And why do that, right? My body's already going to be like butterflies and jumping through hoops with excitement. Oh, that reminds me, another trick. If you are ever feeling nervous on game day, nervous going into a tough situation, I want you to, instead of thinking I'm nervous, I want you to think I'm excited. This is a change I made over the years, and when I remember to do it, it works really well. Because if you think about it, the physiological changes your body goes through, whether it's nerves or excitement, it's the same thing. But now the way you're thinking about it is different. So instead of I'm nervous, I'm afraid of what's going to happen, you are I'm excited and I'm eager and I'm looking forward to what's about to happen. It just takes a completely positive connotation instead of a negative one. So you can use that going into any situation you're feeling trepidation about, even if it's doing your 5-minute time trial to pass your laps. Just think about how excited you are to do it instead of nervous. And you can use that feeling instead of letting that feeling use you. So, tournament weekends are kind of all a blur, right? There's whistles, there's people shouting, there's all sorts of noise all the time. In past years, sometimes I've used earplugs to kind of muffle out some of that. And I found that while it does protect my hearing and gives me some space, it also makes me feel a little bit like a zombie. And so I also tried something else new this weekend. I'm not usually someone who goes around listening to music on game day by myself because I feel like sometimes it closes me off from others. But on a tournament weekend, it makes a lot of sense because you get to control what you're listening to instead of all this whistle bleed and yelling and whatever is happening. So I put in my earbuds, and I listen to like my winning playlist, my mindset playlist, like a bunch of tracks and songs that have positive messages that help keep me loose and happy and excited to go like, I'm going to take it to somebody. Yeah. You know, all those things you kind of want. And I love that because instead of being stiff sitting on the bleachers, which are so uncomfortable, right? I was like, you know, just kind of moving and grooving around, watching what was going on around me, but being a little bit removed from it. We had teammates, you know, checking in on each other here and there, and it looked like we were mostly good. I could tell we had a little bit of tension because it was the first day. People were a little extra hyped, but it wasn't like there was anything we could do to dissipate that. We knew we were going to have to get through this first game, and then the second game, our mindset, like we would be a lot more ready because we'd already done one, right? It's always the first game that's tough. You just got to get through that first jam and get going, and then you go from there, right? Now, a teammate who didn't make her laps in time to come play with us and roster with us, made necklaces for everybody. And they are wonderful. On this cord, there's like a little dog tag with the team logo and a little piece with your name on it and some little jewels. And on the back of the dog tag are these words: be strong when you feel weak. Be brave when you are scared. Be humble when victorious. And be badass every day. I loved this so much. I read it 4 times while gearing up on the first day. Now, because of all of our mental toughness training, all of our mental game stuff, we were a lot more prepared for the idea that plenty of stuff is going to go wrong today, and we're going to get through it anyway. There's going to be plenty of obstacles, plenty of little tiny things we're going to have to overcome, and it's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. First one, one of our jammers pulls a muscle during the warm-up and ended up not being able to play like she thought she would that day. We only tried using her twice and then rested her for the next day. So right away, we're down from a 4-jammer rotation to a 3-jammer rotation. But you know what? We got this. There's no reason we can't do this. And it didn't frazzle us. It didn't freak us out. We did great. One of our jammers was playing against her former team. And the first time she did this, it was a struggle. It was really tough. The second time she played against them, it was a little bit easier. She was a little bit more prepared. She had grown a little bit more in her mental toughness. And this time, I was so proud to see how much she was smiling and having a great time and succeeding out there. You could just tell she had really grown, just really busted down walls and anxieties about playing against former teammates. It was amazing. And I know how tough that is because I've transferred back and forth between 2 rival teams in my area for the last several years, and we've had to play each other a lot. And in the beginning, it was so tough for me. I didn't do well at all. Like, people would ask me to do things and I'd be like, no, I can't. And it took a long time for me to build up that resilience, to figure out how to change my mindset about that. And now I'm so used to it and I don't mind it anymore. And I'm ready because I've done it so many times. It's just one of those things, right? Another challenge we had to overcome was due to some funny rule about I don't know. I guess they thought we were late for the captain's meeting or something. And they decided to give our captain a penalty. So we had to start with our captain in the penalty box to start the game. It seemed kind of silly because they had just been standing nearby waiting for the meeting to start. But that's what the crew decided. You know what? Fine. I don't mind starting the game with 3 blockers on my team. That's not a problem. We're going to be fine. First thing that happens in the game, I get a penalty and go to the box as the jammer. You know what? Whatever. This is pretty much how I expect these games to start. Because at Mitten Kitten, things are called really tightly, really close. And sure enough, I get a whole bunch of penalties in this first half. 4 of them. And they're all really little ticky-tacky stuff like, I guess I shouldn't even look at the tape. If I'm touching anywhere near the tape, it's out of bounds. Or, you know, if I'm doing anything on the outside, it's probably a penalty. Whatever. The point was, normally penalties would get in my head and I'd be worried about letting the team down. But what I saw instead was my blockers are freaking killing it out there, holding the other team's jammer, doing some great power kills. We never felt like any of this was getting away from us. I just kind of chilled, you know, kicked my heels back and just got ready to come back in strong and blow them away. And every time I came out of the box, I wasn't held. I was just boom, right through. And I just had that mindset that, like, you know what? This is fine. Everything is fine. And we all carried that together because I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe in you. I can do it. We're keeping all the positivity up. Somehow, even though we came out kind of flat and in penalty trouble, there were multiple people in penalty trouble. It was a thing. We are behind by 24 points at halftime to the lower seed. It's the number four seed, and we're the number one seed coming into the tournament, and we're behind at halftime. And we just kind of look at each other and go, well, and one of our players, I love this, says, "You guys, we did not work this hard and come this far to lose now. We are not losing this game. Don't make me use my mom voice on all of you." And then we all laughed because it was pretty funny. And we all agreed, like, no, we're not losing this game. There's no way. What we're going to do is we're going to kill it and get our and get this game back under control in the first few minutes of the second half. You know, we're just going to do this now. We're going to do this. Everything is fine. We're going to get our penalties under control. We know exactly what we have to do to adapt. And we're just going to bring it even harder now in the second half. And that's what we did. We took away their lead within a few minutes. And we were back, had the lead, and it freaked out the coach of the other team so much, he immediately went to a timeout. And that actually fueled us even more. Because if you can freak out the other team and make them think they need to take a timeout just a few minutes into the second half, you know you're doing something right. Personally, our timeout strategy as a team is we don't really take many. I know a lot of coaches believe in, oh, we got to take a timeout, calm things down, and talk about some things. But we have found in experience with our team, we actually do better solving it on the track, talking to each other on the bench between jams, and solving it on the track rather than stopping everything. Because if you stop everything, it just, we just find we're smarter players, our team, if we go figure it out. And that's what we did, and that's what we do. We had a lot of big jams in the second half, and the final jam, they got lead and decided to run it long against us. I was out there for 2 minutes, and I was like, this is fine too. I wanted to get lead, and I meant to get lead, but I didn't. And if we're going 2 minutes, I'll skate with you. That's okay too. It ended up finishing where they had 20 points and I had 16 points, which was fine because we had built a lead that was significant enough that we felt comfortable. Final score, 203-151. We celebrated that night by cheering on two of our teammates in the All-Star East versus West game, which was kind of a fun event. I got to announce it, which was really, really enjoyable. And then we had a little bit of hot tub time together. And now I'm going to take another break before I tell you about the final day where we go into the championship game against one of our best rivals ever. Want to know how you can support our podcast and look super cool doing it? Visit our store at powerforthwhistle.threadless.com. We have something for everyone. Whether you like designs that make you feel powerful, like roller derby strong, to cartoon animals on roller skates like cats, elephants, llamas, and more. Our three newest styles include Sloth Roller Derby, Naps Before Laps, I Otterly Love Roller Derby, and Giver of Fox, for all of you out there who give a fox. Our store is full of super soft t-shirts, tank tops, hoodies, accessories, and more. You get to pick the color and style. It's all up to you. And you can support this podcast. Visit our store, powerforthwhistle.threadless.com. That's P-O-W-E-R, the number four, T-H-W-H-I-S-T-L-E.threadless.com. Thank you for your support. And now it's Sunday. I want to tell you about the championship game. Now, this was going to be the first time the first place trophy went to a team in Northern Michigan because both teams are from Northern Michigan. Both teams have a lot of the same struggles, a lot of the same setbacks. We have so much in common, and we've developed this great rivalry over the years. Basically, whatever team Coach Dan and I are on, we have great games against this team. And they are tough games because we are faced against a tough group of of women, a tough group of athletes who are so stubborn and they want it so much, but we want it too. And this year we just, we want it more. We know we want it more because we've worked so hard, but we know our opponent. We know they're going to be so tough to play. And we spend the day getting ready by convening in a room upstairs, playing the song again, dancing around, getting all hyped, saying all those things we want to say to each other, all those lyrics that are so positive. Our leader showed up extra early to the captain meeting to avoid that penalty. And sure enough, they're like, oh, no, it's at a different time now. Like, what? And then the officials can't decide what color our jerseys are, which is a problem they had the day before, too. And you know what? It's just another one of those little things. Like, you know, you have to overcome the reffing in a game. And then you just overcome, like, okay, you also don't know what color jerseys we are. You want to change us to black? Fine. This is fine. We don't mind at all. Fine. Because we're going to win no matter what you throw at us. Because we've got that mindset already. Whatever. We exchange high fives, kind words with our opponents because they are lovely human beings and we have so much respect for them. They're just really nice people. And we felt like this game was fate. I said it a year ago that the first place game the next year should be our two teams because that's the way I want it to go out. I want it to be a beautiful fight to the finish. And that's what we got to experience together. And sure enough, the game starts. The other team is tough. They're coming out really, really tough. And we knew, okay, they're going to win the beginning of each half, but we're going to work on taking the middle and the end of each half. Like we're going to come back in the middle and then we're going to build our lead at the end of each half. That's how we're planning to do this. So we weren't worried at all if they came out with an early lead. So that's exactly how it went in the first half. And we come out, we have a lead at halftime of 30-ish points, a little over 30. And people are feeling pretty good at halftime. They're like, yeah, we're doing this. We're doing this. We are handling it against our rival. This is going great. And I'm warning them. I'm like, hey, they are going to erase our lead so fast in the second half. Be ready. And sure enough, that's exactly what happens. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of backstory to add to the drama of the situation. So 5 weeks ago, I tore the meniscus in my knee, and it's been a struggle ever since then. I did a lot of stuff to work on recovery, healing, yoga, whatever, to get myself ready for tournament because there's no way I'm not playing. There's no way. But at the same time, this has been a shark that's been circling around me for the last 5 weeks, wondering, what's going to happen if I fall on that knee in a game? Because when I have fallen at practice in the past, it's been pretty painful. And I did fall at a practice like a week out, and I breathed through it. And within a couple minutes, I decided I was ready to keep going in the endurance drill. And so I filed that away in my mind, knowing now that, okay, if something happens in the game, if you just kind of sit and breathe, you're going to be okay again. It's up to you to find that strength from within to know pain is temporary. Pain is temporary. It doesn't have to hold you back because I've already been informed I really can't make the injury worse. So all I have to do is work on how I react to it. And so sure enough, in the first half of this game, I took like a giant barrel roll of a fall and activated my knee for the first time all weekend. I had somehow magically felt absolutely fine the day before and had a great performance of my career. But Sunday was a little bit harder because the knee woke up. And I had that moment, that explosion of pain while I was on the ground where I'm like, all right, Jackie, what's she gonna do now? The team is counting on you. Are you going to hang out here on the ground and feel sorry for yourself and let the team down? Or are you going to get up and freaking get back out there and punch this shark in the face? And I did. I immediately just jumped right up and I got through that jam. I was not a liability to the team. I came back to the bench and said, okay, I'm just going to need a minute and I'm going to be fine. And sure enough, I was ready to go again when it was my turn in the rotation. On this day, thank goodness, the jammer that had pulled the muscle was feeling a little bit better, so we were able to use her a little bit. And also, we had another jammer who could only show up for this one day of tournament. So we had five people we could turn to jam. And this gave me time, recovery time. My team allowed me that time so that I could go out there and be okay again. So now, picture this. It's the second half. The other team has come out so strong, and bit by bit, they've chipped away at the lead until we now only have a 1-point lead. We had all that buffer, and it's gone. Now, a few minutes ago, I took my second big fall in the game, direct impact onto the knee. It was painful. I reacted the same way, though. I got back out there because I'm like, this is fine. This is fine. I've got this. I didn't get a goofy penalty. I didn't do anything stupid. I just played clean, smart, effective derby as fast as I could, getting through the pack, doing whatever I needed to do to score points. Okay. But when I got back to the bench, I'm like, okay, that one was a lot worse. I'd like just a little bit more time if you guys can give me time. So they had given me time, and now this is the score. If that isn't dramatic enough, let me tell you about another shark I have to punch. Now, I've told you before, those moments in close games where the score is really tight, I haven't always done my best in the past, and that was something I wanted to work on. And it has happened quite a bit against this team. Every time I've played this team, when it's been really, really close, I just wasn't able in that moment to do the thing that was necessary to get us where we needed to be. I folded under the pressure. The enormity of the moment always got to me. And this is what I wanted to face, especially against this team, who I respect so much, was so good. And most of the game, most of the weekend, I barely looked at the score, barely looked at the clock. None of it mattered to me. But in this moment, it really mattered. This was the time I was going to punch that shark. I had had a few minutes to recover. I went out there and I got lead. I even jumped the apex to get the points. And that was a big moment just personally for me to punch that shark. I responded to that moment. But I did it. I overcame pressure in a tight situation, and I overcame pain from an injury. Two big sharks that were hard for me to face over the course of my career. That basically a great white of a shark moment. And I was strong the rest of the game. And you know what was great about the rest of the game was I didn't look at the score again. I didn't need to. I barely looked at the clock, honestly. And that's how it had been most of the weekend, really. We handled our game jam by jam. We didn't get focused on the scoreboard. We didn't get focused on what was going on over there. We worked on being in the moment, absolutely, and what we could improve bit by bit here and there to keep fighting, to keep playing roller derby to the best of our ability throughout the whole weekend. And that was the big focus of the team, was to work on that. And it probably didn't hurt either that in the second half of both games over the weekend, you could barely see the board, but I'm just saying it was pretty helpful. So the game came down to all the other team's timeouts had been used, and Dan put out the player who had been the jammer in the last game last year. That jammer had had to go the full 2 minutes to try and win the game for us, didn't get those last 2 points. And Dan loves a good story. Dan loves a moment to overcome something so it's not always in your head. Puts out that same jammer. It was the jammer with the pulled muscle, actually. He trusted her to go out there, go run down the clock. I believe in you. And she did. Called it off with about 28 seconds left on the period, to be sure. And we all watched the clock count down to zero. We persevered, and the final score of the championship game was 140-185. My team took first place. This was just an amazing moment of coming together as a group. I got to see so much fight, so much perseverance, so many little moments from everybody over the course of the weekend, like having a rough time here, coming back there. Actually, our captain in the second game had 6 penalties and couldn't play for quite a bit of the second half. And then we put her out with 12 minutes left and she never got another penalty. What a big shark there, right? What a big obstacle to overcome. And if anyone wasn't having their best moment, there was somebody else there to help and support. And we did it together. We never freaked out. I never heard anyone yell at each other all weekend. Like, seriously, the only times we ever called a timeout during either game is if, oh, where's the pivot helmet cover or whatever. Because that's the only time Dan really believes in the timeout is if people are freaking out over a helmet cover. Let's just call a quick one because I don't want you to go out there frantic and lose the jam just because you were panicking over the location of a helmet cover. And that's it. That's it. Everything else, it's up to you. I was so proud of just how strong everybody was. And it was a beautiful emotional moment for all of us. And we were so happy to go over and hug our opponents too, high fives. I just so much appreciation for both of the teams we played. They fought hard, but wow, we didn't beat ourselves this year. We didn't beat ourselves. We let ourselves actually play our best, and we did it together. It just felt so good this time after all the work put in. Like this year, my mental game had confidence and clarity. I had rehearsed what I might need to do when things went wrong, and I was ready. I wasn't beat by penalties. I wasn't beat by injury, and I wasn't beat by pressure. Finding that inner toughness together. The reason it worked this time for our team was we were a complete team full of trust and respect for each other. Now, we had some of that last year, but it was just up to a whole other level this year. We bonded with each other and we believed in each other more than before. And we were saying it on the regular. It worked because, as an onlooker said, it looked like we had built a machine. And I like that because a machine has many moving parts and they have to work together, but unlike a machine, we played with passion and purpose, with discipline and encouragement, and we kept having fun all weekend with each other on and off the track. We never lost the element of fun that competing at a high level could be enjoyable, that instead of freaking out and dreading it, we were just relishing it. Knowing everything we had done this year was to get us here so we could perform in this moment. And we were more than ready to do it. We were so happy to get this chance. You don't get to do this in everyday life. This is roller derby. This is why we play roller derby, you guys. So what's next for me and my team? I really don't know, but we're enjoying the moment. And I am looking forward to celebrating with my team some more. We're actually going out tonight with the trophy to enjoy each other and the trophy. And I'm so proud. of each and every one of them. I can't wait to see them again. I'm actually a little bit sad that it's off season now. And I think everything's going to be great. I have some thank yous before I leave today. I want to thank the people who did shares this week. That would be the shares from April Duke on Facebook and the Instagram story from Meow on Skates. You really cracked me up. And the Twitter share from Knox Talks, as always. Thanks, Knox. And there was a new review on Apple Podcasts from Steph Mulk 86. And it says, this podcast has so much great advice and many episodes resonate with me. Thank you so much for making this podcast super helpful. Well, thank you, Steph. I really appreciate the review. It really helps people find the podcast. So thank you and keep leaving the reviews, you guys. You're great. And I have a final extra, extra, extra big thank you to everyone who came up to me at the tournament and wanted to talk about the podcast. Every time it almost takes me aback because I'm so happy to be doing this and I love doing this. But then when I get to see and meet the people, like whether I'm hearing from you on the internet, but even more so when I meet you in person, it's like, wow, this is so great. And thank you. Thank you for taking the time because I know it's like a little bit awkward. And I know I probably was a little bit awkward because some of you snuck up on me. I really loved it. I really loved seeing those faces, hearing some names of people who listen to the podcast and what it's meant to you and your team and how it's helped throughout your season. So thank you. Thank you. And with that, we have been talking about Derby and sharing Derby thoughts. Pew, pew. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Power Through the Fourth Whistle Roller Derby podcast. I really hope those laser beams of positivity will carry through your day. If you'd like to get in touch, you can find us on Facebook or on Instagram and Twitter at Power Fourth Whistle. That's POWER, the number 4, THWHISTLE. You can find fun videos of on and off skates training on our YouTube channel, Facebook page, and Instagram. Please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast anywhere you can. Leaving reviews on Apple Podcasts is still the best way to help this podcast be found and spread those laser beams of positivity to more humans. Open the app, punch those stars, and leave me a pew pew!